Hello and welcome. You are listening to For the Love of Dog, a podcast related to all things dog, just in case the title wasn't clear enough. I'm Kerry Jordan, a professional dog photographer, whippet enthusiast, and a serial dog cuddler. So on this week's episode, I am going to be speaking to one of the founders of Scrumbles. I came across Scrumbles somewhere you probably wouldn't expect, LinkedIn, a place more commonly considered as a corporate social media. Jack was giving away some samples of dog treats to office dogs. Well, I asked, I work from home, is that still classed as an office dog? Something stood out for me when I got the product. Not only all the ingredients, something that I can actually pronounce, the packaging was, well, cute, and it was plastic-free and compostable. Bonus. So I asked for a chat without realising that they also had another interview lined up on Dragon's Den. More about that later. By the way, the treats went down really well with the hounds. I don't know if you're on social media, but there's a hilarious video of Shadow trying to pour the treat out of my hand. And so big welcome to Anaisha.
Hi.
So Anaisha, I love hearing about how pets have inspired people to build businesses around them. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how Boo and Smudge to help you bring Scrumbles about?
So Smudge and Boo are everything to the business. They guide our decisions in terms of what we're going to do, and they're very much the reasons that we started. So when we rescued Boo, who's our cat, she had quite an awful bout of terrible tummy upsets, and we had to keep going back and forth to the vet, where we were then prescribed a probiotic paste and switched to a bland diet of boiled chicken and rice. It was the only thing that sorted her issues out pretty much overnight. But every time we tried to transition back to the cat food, the problems reappeared. So we couldn't seem to get rid of it without using a probiotic paste. As somebody that's got IBS myself, I'm always looking into gut health and, you know, what's really important and the important, like, clean eating. So it's really then that we recognise the same importance for our pets. And we kind of declared our war on poo, quit our jobs, and decided to kind of delve into nutrition and create recipes for ourselves.
You should so put that on your business cards. War on poo. It's certainly a talking point. Now, the reason that we got you on is because when I received the treat bags, I noticed that as well as being super cute, they were completely plastic free and compostable. Why did you make the decision to do that?
So we call ourselves mini eco warriors, and we try to make conscious decisions you know, in our everyday life in terms of what we eat and what kind of products we buy. And we have a little dream that we want to guarantee adventures for many more generations of cats and dogs. So we need to make sure that we approach everything we do in a better way. Packaging, unfortunately, 40% of all plastic produced is packaging related, and sometimes plastic isn't actually the bad guy people make it out to be. It helps prevent against food going, you know, spoiling and things like that. But when it comes to something like a treat, there is absolutely no need for it. So I looked at everything I could do to create a moisture barrier, but also find a packaging supplier here in the UK. So to avoid those kind of carbon air miles, which most packaging does get flown through, and found somebody that was really into pets and into what we were doing. So decided to support us, and you know, 'cause we don't have the funds of the big companies, but they've really worked with us and they've been amazing.
Oh, that's really cool. So, I mean, how hard was it to source in the beginning? Was it quite difficult to find?
It was really difficult to find. I think I love David Attenborough for so many reasons, but one of the best things he's done is he's challenged the industry globally to really look into how we're doing things, because consumers are more aware of the impact. And the positive thing is all the big packaging suppliers are looking into ways to make more sustainable things. But just networking and speaking to various different people, going to a lot of shows that are around sustainability is how I found the right contacts that have guided me towards our supplier.
Amazing. And I guess because you choose mostly British produce as well, that the carbon footprint is pretty good. Is that so? That's something that you definitely consciously decided to do.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not an easy thing, because you can get much cheaper produce from abroad, funnily enough. Jack got back in touch with his old lecturer at the University of Bath, and we recently conducted a life cycle assessment on pet food because we wanted to understand where our biggest impact was. And the meat agriculture is a really big part of that. So choosing British, opting for lower emission meats and things like that, that's all helped us reduce that carbon footprint.
Wow, you've really done your research on this. Were you guys, was this something that you did before you got into the pet industry?
For our own personal lives, not to this extent, but we've always really researched into what makes a more eco-conscious decision. And at a business I used to work for, where we sold loose leaf tea, I decided to pilot a project where we looked at developing a compostable takeaway coffee cup, because that's it's shocking the number that are thrown away per day.
Yep.
But it was doing that project that I realized that it's not as easy as just saying, well, this composts, because yep. It's the whole cycle of, well, actually, if a shop is just going to throw that into the same bin that they would another cup, a non-compostable one, you've actually created more work in creating it, made it more expensive, and the overall impact is worse on the environment. So it's something that we're just really interested in, and we always wanted to use the business as a drive to do better for the world, which is why we're part of the B Corp community as well. So it just kind of fell naturally that way.
And what's the B Corp community?
So B Corp is a global accreditation of all businesses, any categories, where it looks at your environmental and social impact and assesses you, so you get graded. And it's quite hard to become accredited as a B Corp because of that. But once you're graded, it doesn't end there. So it's a community of improving and learning from one another, and you get targeted on the areas that you should improve on first, like have the biggest impact. So some businesses like Innocent Smoothies, they recently accredited as a B Corp. We became the second pet food globally to reach the accreditation. So we're really proud.
I honestly think you're my new favourite company. You've just, considering what this podcast season is about, I think you're really raising the bar for everybody else in the pet industry. So you're obviously really into this. What do you think other dog owners can do to be more eco-friendly with their dog ownership?
So I think it's small changes. You don't need to make big changes. It's really hard, and everybody has quite a hectic lifestyle. So I think if you try to do everything, it can become really quickly quite overwhelming. But simple things like supporting British, or making sure that a purchase that you buy for your pet, do they actually need it? And are you disposing of it in the right way? You know, tackle just one thing that matters to you is what I would say. So whether it's choosing to buy more locally, or whether it's choosing to look at better eco-friendly packaging options, your one impact and spreading that word, it's a domino effect. So it would have a huge impact overall.
Yeah, I'm really now trying to consciously make very like purchases I have to think about. So there's some amazing treats out there, and I'm like, but this is just another, because I've got five dogs, so I buy a lot of treats. And now it's like, well, actually, that's three packets that's going to go in the bin this week. The other thing is, on the first episode, I think I had Ben from Adios Plastic, who's got completely compostable poop bags, which isn't going to make a difference if I'm just going to throw them in the same bin. So
exactly,
gross, but I've started poo composting. Really well, and I'm doing a little trial at the moment to see how long it takes for a vegetable poop bag to degrade alongside a biodegradable one. This is my life now.
It's really geeky, but it's so interesting. I recently wrote a blog on how, so a while ago on Earth Day, I wrote some tips on reducing your own footprint. And then I wrote one the other day on specifically on helping your dog reduce their paw print. that one thing that I'm looking into, we talk about poo all the time, but it's the right way to get rid of poo.
Yeah.
Because actually, the more I researched into it, the more it is really confusing. Like, even composting it, you've got to do it the right way. I met a lovely business, actually. I don't know if you know Dicky Bag. Have you heard of those guys?
Yes.
So I met them.
My own Dicky Bags at the moment.
they're amazing. Like, as a couple, they're fantastic as well. I'm now getting my Dicky Bag because we go to the woods a lot, and it's now like, you know, keep your poo bag and your Dicky Bag, take it home and make sure you get rid of it in the right way.
Exactly. It is exactly that. I can't believe we're talking so much about poo.
But it's like a pet parent.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing is because I'm in my back garden, I'm not using poop bags anymore. I mean, I must be saving like between three and six poop bags a day by just scooping it into this bin. And apparently it's really amazing for the flowers. So hopefully I'll get some gorgeous blooms next year. No, it's a minefield, because I did a little piece on, there's a green dog scheme near us, because I always was of the mindset that if you're out in the countryside, it's fine to just flick it under a bush.
Yeah, but it's not, is it?
And I hadn't realised that where I live, there's a lot of heathland, which really relies on nutrient poor soil, and poop is nutrient rich. So it was really, you know, it can change the balance of the soil. Yeah. So now I'm like, okay, now I've got this information, I have to pick it up every time.
I know exactly how you feel, because I got to that point a couple of months ago. I was like, I can't believe I thought that was okay. Like, you almost feel like there should be more education, like, widely available, because you have to look for it to uncover this. And I think most people make the same mistake you and I made of doing that and thinking, oh, we're doing the right thing there, and actually we weren't. But.
Yeah, and it is a minefield, and you at one point you think you're doing something really amazing. And then you find out, actually, like you said about the cups and things, I recently read that the bamboo cups, there's a certain amount of toxins that can be released if you put hot liquids in. It's like, well, people are trying. Oh, okay. Anyway, enough talk about poop. Now, I know this isn't an eco question, but I was so thrilled to see the pair of you on Dragon's Den. How did you find the experience, and do you think it's been a positive outcome for you guys?
So I really enjoyed the experience, I've got to say, and you only see a very short snippet of our time in there, but I was quite giddy the whole time there and got really excitable when people were asking me questions. And I think the producers laughed at the end because kept cutting Peter Jones off, because I just really wanted to tell him stuff. So I think it was a really fun experience. It's terrifying at the same time, because you are stood in like a very intense interview with five people staring at you and hammering various questions and having long pauses in between where I don't like silence. So I was like, do I say something? Do I stay silent? But I think it remains to be seen, but we've been overwhelmed with a positive response from our shoppers. A lot of them were really upset and said that, you know, they want everybody to know all about Scrumble. So I've noticed that they're all doing like Instagram stories and posts all the time, which is fantastic. We also have had some really lovely emails from retailers and new shoppers to say that they loved, you know, hearing a little bit more about Scrumbles and that they'd want to try us. So far it's been great. Obviously, there is the way they edit it, it can be a little bit embarrassing, but I think, you know, we've taken it on the chin.
And just so that everybody knows, you and Jack are fine.
Yes, 100%. So I think, again, the camera, like where they put the different pauses and facial expressions, it didn't happen like that.
But it made for great TV. I was really like on the edge of my seat for you guys.
100%. We knew that there must have been something entertaining, because we weren't meant to be on TV till December, so they bumped us right up to the first episode. And so the day before, we were worried, we were like, why have they bumped us up? And whilst we were watching the show, we didn't know where we would air. And we were going to be the end and the amount of minutes that were left, we were like, oh God.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. And they did. I think they edited it so that you really ended on this cliffhanger. And all the faces were so shocked. It was like, what? did they just say no to us? Sorry, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched it so far. No, I think I think you sound like you've got a really lovely community around you already, and hopefully that will grow. So now I like to end these things with some Q&As, and now I have a few questions for Smudge, because it is For the Love of Dog, not For the Love of Cat podcast. So if you would like to answer how you think he would respond. So for Smudge, do you like sharing your life with Boo?
Absolutely not. So, I think if Smudge was here, she'd say that she is an attention seeker. She likes to be the center of attention. And anybody that takes that away from her, she's not happy. But we have a Furbo, and every so often when we leave, we see them cuddling up together. But as soon as we walk back in, Smudge acts like she doesn't know who Boo is.
No, that's never happened. So what would you think Smudge's idea of your new business is? What's the best thing?
I think she loves having new food and treats around her all the time. So we're innovating. I'm developing guilt-free cat treats at the moment, and I keep putting them in cardboard boxes, which are completely sealed, and yet Smudge manages to eat through the cardboard and eat her weight in cat treats. So she's always really excited when the post arrives. She's like, oh my God, there's something for me. And if anybody's met us at the dog shows that we do, as soon as I pick up a bag of treats and talk to somebody about it, her head just looks up and she's like, oh God, I'm getting another treat, is this for me? She thinks she owns the business, which, you know, is partly true.
Does Smudge prefer a countryside or a beach walk?
I would have to say a beach walk, actually. And we've had a lot more countryside walks than beach walks, but I've noticed whenever we do go to a beach, she goes mental, and she seems to really enjoy the feeling of the sand in her paws, and she loves rolling around, and she's just very, very different. But I mean, as long as she's outside, she loves it. Unless there's thunderstorms.
Oh, I was about to say, it is absolutely tipping it down here in West Sussex at the moment. Does she go out in the rain, or does she just hold it?
You have to really force her. You open the door, she gets really excited when she sees her collar come out or hears walkies. And then as soon as I open the door, she starts to back away. So you've got to really pick her up and take her with you and say, come on, you've got to do this.
It's like, no, I have a camel bladder, it's fine. What is her most fun thing to do?
Smudge likes the simple things in life. So she's obsessed with a hairdryer, and anytime I take the hairdryer out, she gets her bottom starts wiggling mad, and she just runs up to me, rolls over. She likes to be blown around with the hairdryer. She thinks it's a game, so she starts burning, chasing. But like any dog, she just loves her walks and she loves to be played with.
Oh God, that's an adorable thought there of her just going all poofy after the hairdryer. So I have a few quick fire questions for you. Ones that you don't think too much about, and just whatever comes into your head first. Morning or night person?
Night person.
Interesting. Is that when you're at your most productive?
100%. I am terrible in the morning. So
sorry about the early morning recording.
That's terrible. As an example, my most productive yesterday was between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. I worked so hard then, but in the actual morning I'm zombie.
Oh my days. Obviously it's not a video, but my mouth is wide open, because I'm usually half seven, I'm right, let's do this, and by 10 I'm ready for bed.
See, I want to be like you. That's what I aspire to be. My body just will not listen.
If you were on holiday, would it be an action holiday or relaxing?
So I would say action holiday, however, Jack and I keep saying we would just love to do nothing and spend a couple of days just lying on a beach, which is so not us. But right now I'm like, yeah, a couple of days on a beach doing nothing, that might be quite nice.
Yeah, yeah. Especially after the hecticness of the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Are you a savoury or sweet person?
Sweet. My sins.
Now this one's going to be a tough one. Cats or dogs?
Oh, see, I know what Jack would answer, but I honestly can't. I am so equal, but they're so different as well. Like, I would say that growing up, I was a dog person. And it's only as I grew older and like got to meet like cats on the streets that I fell in love with them. And now I spend my morning cuddles with Smudge, and then the evening where Boo gets really alive. You might have seen her; she was my buddy, one work buddy last night, so I have that time with her. But yeah, they bring such different things to the table. I couldn't choose.
So what would Jack say?
Oh, he'd kill me if I told you. He said it's top secret. I accused him the other day. I was like, I think you're biased. I don't think you're quite equal. But he says, I'm not allowed to tell anybody.
Oh, interesting. So what would you say is the best piece of advice for anybody starting their business?
I would say to constantly tell yourself what's the worst that could happen. Because as a business owner, you'll notice yourself, you're constantly faced with challenges and that feeling of, oh my God, why am I doing this? This is so hard. And actually, the reality is the negatives are never as negative as you think they are. You make them a much bigger deal. And actually, even the highs are never as amazing as you think that high is. So it's just kind of stepping back, just doing what you want to do. And if you ever get negative or worry about things, just think, what's the worst that could happen?
Good advice. Now, how do you think Jack would describe you in three words?
Tenacious, geeky, and a little bit irritating.
Now, how would you describe Jack in three words?
Considered, hilarious, and a little bit grumpy.
What is next for Scrumbles?
So onwards and upwards, we're on a mission to become the nation's most favourite natural pet food company. And Dragon's Den has helped more people find out about us. We've got a number of retailers that we're going to be working with because we want to be able to be available wherever our shoppers want us and continuing to innovate and challenge the industry to do better.
That's amazing. I think that's such a, well, as I said, I'm a new massive fan.
Thank you
so much for your time today. I know it's been a super, super busy last few days, so I really appreciate it. Where can people find you on the interweb?
So you can find us on our website, of course, and then lovely websites like the Thoughtful Pet Store, which is a really nice eco-conscious one, Fetch Loves Pets, Ocado, and Amazon.
And do you have social media handles?
We do. So it's Scrumbles for Instagram, but for Twitter and Facebook, Scrumbles UK, because we just didn't get there in time for Scrumbles.
Perfect. Well, I'll put all those in the show notes as well so people can click through. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thanks. Bye.